Hey there, welcome to What's the Truth? I'm your host, Jessica Hoddle, and today we're tackling line number 37, I don't know how to start, with special guest, Tanner Hobbs. You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one bestselling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. I really enjoy this interview with Tanner. I like to record the intros after we do the interview so that I know how to intro you guys and welcome you to this lie and to this episode. Now, I don't know where or don't know how to start. Tanner really walks us through kind of practical steps, whether it's fitness, I don't know how to start, business, I don't know how to start, but really just this idea, I love it. She says, stop saying it. And well, we go a little bit deeper into what she means by that. But she comes from a background of health and fitness and being an athlete. And in the fitness industry, we often hear, because my background is also in the fitness industry, of I don't know how to start. You know, there's so much information out there. I don't know how to start. And she also has a business where she, you know, raises up other women. And I think it's important that before we go any further, you might not be all about the fitness side of things, or we talk about body image and things like that, but she really does give us practical tips, no matter the category, when it comes to this lie, I don't know how to start. So let's go ahead and get right to the interview. Tanner, I'm so excited that you are here to talk about this lie with us today. I love your heart for women. I love your ministry. And, you know, I told you, one, I love the title of your podcast, which you can hear. But I really felt connected with you because I felt like our stories were so similar. And we were talking about this, what lie you wanted to address and what has been kind of pressing on your heart. And you kind of came up with this, I don't know where to start. And I think that it's interesting because a lot of people are probably like, this is not a lie because I really don't know where to start.
Right.
So as we get started, why do you think that this lie keeps coming for people?
Probably because they've been called into something. They've been called into something bigger, and they just, whether it be with their health, their business, their career, motherhood, you know, family expansion of some sort. I don't know. I just feel like in all the little things that I tap into, which I love to talk about a lot of different things. I'm very multi-passionate. Health is the thing that I started with, but that's kind of led to marriage and relationships and friendships, and then also now entering into motherhood and also business. And so I just feel like I've had so many conversations with women lately, or even just heard them say, I don't know where to start. And it's been tough to witness that so often, because I think the truth is we have all that we need. But kind of like you talk about, Jessica, it's the narrative that we tell ourselves, which is more likely to happen, right? And so if we just stay with that, I don't know where to start, and we'll probably dive into this, then it's really hard for that to lead into the first step.
No, I completely agree. And I think maybe you can speak on this a little bit more. Is when it comes to, I don't know where to start, do you think that can also just be procrastination? And, you know, sometimes I like to say that we like to pray about things, but then we kind of sit back with our arms folded like, hey, God, okay, it's your turn. Like I prayed about it. So, yeah. But I'm very much faith without works is dead, and faith with works really makes things come to that perfection, quote unquote. So how about, can you speak more into maybe a little bit deeper? Because we say those things, but what do you think is the deeper narrative that we keep telling ourselves around that?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. In the believer world, it's easy to be like, pray and wait, right? Because the Bible does, it talks about waiting seasons, but it also talks about going. And so I think we can easily choose to wait and call that holy, when really God has already called us to go because he's already put it on our heart. And I think that's really hard to discern between. And a lot of women will ask, like, how do you discern? Like, how do you find discernment? And I don't think it's necessarily finding it as much as it is seeking it. Like, it's there. The discernment is truth. It's your Bible. It's understanding the word and God's character and everything. But honestly, I think the big obstacle with the, I don't know where to start, I don't know that first step, is probably laziness. And I say that with so much, like, I'm coming across as a little bit more tough love than I really am.
It's okay. I'm pretty much like, they're used to it here.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I struggle with confrontation. So this feels like kind of out of my normal personality, but this is good for me. And I'm going to embrace it right now because I kind of feel led this way. But I do think it's laziness, and I don't think it's always a physical laziness. I think sometimes it's a spiritual laziness. And so I know actually when quarantine started, first day that things started shutting down was the first day I found out I was pregnant. This was after months and months of trying. It was a huge miracle. And then I entered into a super lazy next really 3 months. And it wasn't necessarily just a physical laziness. It was a spiritual laziness. And the longer I sat in that, the harder it was to get out of that. And I think that's what I want to help women avoid, is not lingering in the laziness and recognizing it and being aware of it more than anything. And that might be why it's so pressing on my heart, because it's so fresh to me. Mm. I have been a go, go, go girl my entire life. Like, literally from the time I can remember, give me a task list, give me a busy day. Don't give me something not to do. Like, I've really always struggled with just like sitting and being still. When you tell an Enneagram 3 to be still, like, that's torture. But for some reason, when I found out I was pregnant and quarantine started, I just was so okay with slowing down everything, which hasn't been bad. It has taught me a lot, but I've let that linger into laziness when God called me into things during the slower season, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I think that's why it's so pressing on me and why I don't want women to sit in that laziness too long, because the longer you sit in it, it's harder to figure out that first step, because now you've gotten comfortable in the laziness. And so now you got to get uncomfortable again. And it's hard to get uncomfortable when you kind of found a groove in what your, you know, your excuses, if you will, for not starting. And it's easy to say, I don't know how to start. Mm. It's hard to go after and figure it out. Mm. And I think that for me, in the things I was being called into and to in this last little season of my life, I just really struggled with wanting to figure it out. You know, I just didn't want to do the work, if you will. I didn't want to go have the conversations. I didn't want to, you know, a lot of times when I don't know how to do something, I've been called into it. That comes with a lot of humility, and I didn't want to choose that. Mm-hmm. I had figured out so many other things in my business. So to enter into something new, I just didn't want to have to go say, hey, can you help me? I don't know how to do this or whatever. I didn't want to go ask for the help, when really that's when I reflect on all my other times in my business and with my health journey and everything, I've gotten help along the way with everything. And so I don't know why, but for some reason I was telling myself a different story this time. Like, I was going to be able to figure out, again, like you said, I'll just keep praying on it and eventually I'll be led in the right direction. And I think sometimes we can use the word prayer to cover up spiritual laziness.
Yeah, it's good. I think, you know, maybe you can kind of speak on this even more too, is we can convince ourselves of anything. And I think the more that we say that, I don't know where to start, it can actually also become to this place of, this is too hard, which is kind of like what you just said. Mm-hmm. This is too hard. And then the enemy comes in and goes, but maybe you're not even called to this anyways.
Totally. Totally. That's when the lies start, right? When you start with the maybes and you start with the I don't knows and you convince yourself that you don't have what you need yet. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 4 and it talks about already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. And I think that's really hard to grasp, especially when we're desiring things in our life. So kind of to give a really good example, I guess, would be I was desiring a baby for 11 months. We were trying, I wanted it, I wanted it, I wanted it. And then that's what I had come out of. I finally received that strong desire that I had and got pregnant. And I was struggling with, like, I was seeking God so hard during that time because I was hurting. Like, every month that I didn't get that desire, I was hurting. It was super painful and it was really hard. And so I just kept seeking him because I'm like, God, I just need you. God, I just need you. And I never felt so close to God than I did during that season. And then when I got what I wanted, I got scared because I was like, God, I want you when I don't want anything. Because I didn't have something huge pressing that I wanted. Like receiving that miracle of a baby was like such a big victory that I was like, okay, now I can just relax in this and I can just celebrate. And I got lazy in that. Like, yes, it's good to celebrate and, you know, recognize the victory and everything, but that doesn't stop the progression that we are called into in Christ and the calling and the discipleship and everything. And so, yeah, I think that was huge for me is what does it look like to go when I don't actually desire anything super deeply?
That's good. Now, Tanner, why don't you tell the audience just a little bit? Because, you know, they're probably like, okay, she keeps talking about business. She keeps talking about health. And I would really love to kind of now segue into more about your own personal story of background.
Yeah.
And then if you could kind of speak then more into what it then looks like. Like, okay, we talk about spiritual laziness and physical laziness, and people are probably like, that's pretty obvious, but maybe giving tangible examples of that, you know, because I know that we've had that, you know, our stories are very similar with our backgrounds of fitness and health. And I think sharing that story, your story, and how these different physical laziness and spiritual laziness plays into our stories, because they really do, right? Maybe I was really physical, but my spiritual was just like a wreck.
Yeah.
And so can you share just a little bit more about you as you transition into what does this look like, spiritual versus the physical laziness or physical laziness?
Yeah. So it's so hard to like wrap up your story, right? But in college, I played softball at a D2 school. I was going to school to be an accountant and I loved numbers. And I wanted consistency with income, so I chose accounting. No other reason besides that. My family had just we went bankrupt when I was in high school. And so it gave me a lot of money fear. So I was like, I need something consistent that's going to bring in good income. So I just went after accounting. But in college, I got hurt right away. I tore the labrum in my hip. And so I was hearing the stories of what normally happens when you're a freshman, watch out for the freshman 15. And now I had just gotten my sport stripped away from me too, which was like my game plan to keep the freshman 15 off. Yeah. And so because I was on crutches for a really long time, and we at the school I went to in Louisville, Kentucky, it was such a hilly campus and I was on crutches and you just, like, that's a story for itself. Almost went backwards on the crutches. Yeah. But I, instead of using that to like teach me lessons, I kind of use that as my crutch, if you will, to get me through losing what my identity had been in, which was softball. I was a pitcher. That's where I felt most confident in my life, was on the pitching mound. I had control of the game. It was just my jam. I've done it since I was a little girl and played a ton. And that was my plan for college, to get me through college with softball. And so when that was stripped away, my identity was in every other thing that made me feel, quote, confident. And so for a while that was men. And my body is really kind of what it ended up in, because I wanted to feel confident with the friend group that I was in. And I wanted to feel confident in front of the guys that I was dating. And that's what became my story, is my identity in those things. So I actually ended up falling in love, if you will, with health and fitness in college because of that injury. And I realized, well, if I can't move my body as much, then I need to really focus on what I'm putting into my body. Because if I eat the same and I'm not moving as much, then I'm no dummy here. Like, I'll gain a bunch of weight. All that to say, I ended up getting super, super obsessed with nutrition, the power of food. And I just started eating clean and eating healthy and only eating clean and avoiding everything that was processed and just completely pursuing this body of, well, let's see how small I can get if I'm not going to be playing ball like I thought it was going to be. So anyways, that kind of was the next few years at college, and I was dating men and everything. And then I was about to graduate college. I loved health and fitness. I was personal trainer certified at this point and really digging like training. I was training professors and students at the school and really digging it. And I realized, okay, if I go into accounting, I'm going to be miserable. And I had been meeting with the big four firms through my classes and stuff, and I just never felt like I fit in. I felt like I was dragging myself to the classes. And so I was scared to say, I want to be a personal trainer. Like, I had just paid $50,000+ a year to be a personal trainer that you could do without going to college. It didn't make sense. I was afraid to say that's what I wanted to do. In fact, when I started to express that, even like my accounting friends and their parents and stuff would be like, don't do that. That's so silly. You have this amazing degree. Go do amazing things with it. But I decided to pursue that passion I had for health. So after school, I ended up being a health coach, found a gym, started building a clientele. I'm skipping a lot of the story because I feel like I want to get to the point of spiritual and physical. I was still in that moment physically chasing this body. I was chasing a certain pound, a certain pant size, abs, muscles, like just everything that looked good to the label that I had put on myself as a health coach. And that's what I worshiped for a while. Mm-hmm. And then I met my husband after college. This was in 2015. And we both at that time had kind of been stripped, if you will, of our flesh. And I had a moment where another relationship had ended. And that was the first time that I knew God wrote a story for my life that was different than what I was about to write. Mm-hmm. And I just felt so confident in that day in my room. I'll never forget it. And so I was really starting to figure out, who is God? What do I believe in? Like, what is this whole, like, Jesus came and, you know, died for us and resurrected. What does all that mean? So I was really trying to figure that out. And when I met Derek, he was too. He had just gotten involved with his church with a small group of men for the first time. And so our relationship really got to be built off of, we've been completely stripped of everything we thought mattered, and we're just trying to learn who God is. So we got to seek that together. We ended up getting engaged 6 months to the day we met. We got married. And in that whole transition and that time with Derek too, and, you know, really getting to know God together, I started my business. I started my business actually 2 weeks after Derek and I got married, and I left the gym and just started this thing online because I knew that I was called to help a different group of people than I was actually helping in the gym. And so it was in that time that I realized, like, I can't coach health without telling people about Jesus. Like, these things can't be separated because Jesus is literally saving me from what I thought was healthy, but actually it was killing me. And that's kind of where everything took a turn. And I realized I was avoiding spiritually who I was meant to be for the satisfaction that I could get from the world. And finally, over time and seeking Jesus and talking about him and opening up and getting in community and getting involved in my church, a church for the very first time in my whole life, like, I was just radically being transformed from in my heart more than anything. And so that's kind of where I understood what it looked like to have a spiritual foundation and how life with a firm spiritual foundation was a good, meaningful life, was a life that I was actually called into, was a life of discipleship, was a life with meaning and purpose and joy and peace and all these things that I was trying to find in my career and my body and my relationships and my friendships and partying on the weekends and all these other things. And so that was such a cool time. Derek and I love to talk about that time still. And it's why we get so fired up about community and you know, godly community and really getting involved with small groups and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's where everything kind of took a turn. And I talk about physical and spiritual laziness because I think without spiritual foundation. And without understanding truth and without saying, okay, I'm going to spend more time on my spiritual health than I'm going to spend on my physical health. And for a lot of people that just heard me say that, that's like probably a whoa. I definitely work out and make my meals and everything. I spend more time doing that than I spend thinking about Jesus or in the Word or in community talking about Him or whatever. And I think that was a big turn for me where I was like, I don't want to live a life where I'm worshiping what my body looks like, but instead worshiping who made my body to do what it can do. And I can find victory in that. I can find true celebration in that. And from that foundation and from that energy that I can get spiritually, I'm going to choose discipline. I'm going to choose obedience. And I'm going to know that next step. Because like we were talking about in the beginning, that lie, I don't know how to. I'm going to see if I spiritually am energized and really rooting myself well, I'm going to be able to see that He's given me enough resources to start, and I don't have to know the whole story. I just have to know that next step and just trust and believe and have faith that the next step after that will come from me taking this first step of obedience.
That's so good. You had a lot of good points. I was, you know, writing things down, and when you were talking about, you know, more, you're focusing more on the physical health than the spiritual health. And I think oftentimes we do that and then we go, well, I don't feel God and God's not doing X, Y, Z for me, you know, and we just start to feel as though He's not there. And when we don't have that spiritual foundation, it actually hurts our physical health because of not having that rooted place of identity. Yeah. And I would love quickly, before we get into some practical tips about starting, I always get asked a lot, and I'm sure maybe you do too, Tanner, is how do you combine faith and fitness together? Because still for a lot of people out there, even believers, this whole concept of merging the two of faith, like God, and fitness is so new. And they're like, I don't understand how to do this. And I have my ways that I'm always saying about scripture and in body and prayers and stuff like that. But I'd love to hear just some tangible things that you like to help women in this topic.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you're right. There's a lot of people who are like, oh, this can be a thing. This can be together. I've never even heard this. I've always segregated the two and, you know, worked on fitness here and then went to church here or whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
And that is normal. First of all, I don't want you to think like, oh, I've been doing it wrong. And it's like, I'll never be able to get this. You will. And I think it just comes with perspective. So to me, what I believe is we can't have true fitness in the way that like God really gave us the energy to do without having faith, because faith believes that He created you and that He made you in His image. And then fitness is a part of that. So kind of the way I explain it to my girls is our faith and that foundation is the pie crust. And fitness is just a piece of that pie. And you have fitness, you have nutrition, you have your career, you have your family, you have your work, you have all these different things and hats that you wear during your days inside of this pie. So when you go to work on fitness, you go to work out, right? And you pull that piece of pie out. Without the crust, it falls apart. And I think oftentimes we convince ourselves that no, I can do this on my own. I can do this with my own willpower and I can keep this together. But what we've seen in our society, and you can see all over diet culture and through research of your own, this has become a cycle in our life where we think we can, we need these results, we desire this, we pay money for this thing, we stick to this program for a certain period of time. It worked really well, but then all of a sudden you fall apart.
Yeah.
And then you need it again. And diet culture loves that. Diet culture wants your money. They want you to keep paying them. So if it worked for you before, of course you're going to reinvest in it and do it again. But this time, you'll stick to it. You'll keep it off. And so that is truly like the lie of the fitness realm that I'm really trying to help women see, is that truth is fitness can be an act of celebration, an act of honoring, an act of truly encouraging your body to keep going. and not keep going in a realm of keep going until that number on the scale hits the number that you're desiring, but keep moving and keep nourishing your body and keep choosing that excellence so that you can do the things God has actually called you to. Because so many women that come to me, and I'm sure you too, Jessica, lack energy. Yeah. Their sleep is not good. Their routines are out of whack. And I think oftentimes we don't realize that that comes from us not taking care of this body. And when we understand, when we have faith, we believe He created this body. And another way I explain it too is our body is not our own. He created it. He gave it to us to house the Holy Spirit, to live from, to do the things we've been called to. It's our job to manage it. And so I think when we take off that owner hat, like I own my body and I'm going to make it look so good and all this stuff like I did all those college years, and we realize I'm going to put the manager hat on, which means I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to honor the owner. I'm going to nourish this well. I'm going to do my job to do the best that I can to really make God proud of how I take care of this and what I can do in this body. So that kind of stuff really helps me. And then I have a podcast episode too that they can check out on the Chasing Freedom Show where I share a bunch of scripture about how these two can relate as well.
Yeah, I actually love that you said that our body is not our own. We are managers of it. I often say that God is the owner and we are the stewards. So it's very much the same thing. You know, it's we get to steward our husband per se. You know, like everything we have is not ours. Like, yes, he's my husband, but he's not mine. And that can look like in every area of our life, you know, kids, family, like we just get to come alongside of and steward them well. So I love that perspective. We are on the same page. And now I just kind of want to wrap this up a little bit with people are probably like, okay, you're telling me this isn't a lie, right? I don't know where to start. Now they're probably waiting for you, Tanner, to go, okay, what are some practical ways then to actually begin this process of starting, you know, whatever it is, because I know your background and my background is fitness, is health and, you know, body image and all of those things. But even if they're not into that area, just practical, maybe just like three or like the top two that you can think of that could get them started today.
Yeah. So I think the first one is mainly asking yourself. So I think we can cover up and say, I don't know where to start. And that actually is covering up something else. So it's, is it fear? Is it frustration? Is it a mindset of lack? Just kind of really getting real with yourself. Cause it is, if it is those things can easily be like fixed, if you will. We can figure out truth. We can recognize lies and combat those with the word. Like we can get in community and stuff like that and allow other people to speak life into these, this lie that we're thinking. So one is just recognizing like, is that actually what's going on? The next one is using the resources you already have. I think a lot of times we feel like we need to add in order to gain. And a lot of times with callings in our life, I mean, the word says you have all that you need. And so be resourceful. Use what, I mean, shoot, you have Google. You have Google, which can lead you to a lot of awesome things. You have social media now where maybe you follow people that you know are biblically sound and you can ask questions to. You have maybe people at your church and pastors that you can go ask questions just to get that first step. But truly be resourceful. What do you have? What has God already given you access to that you're not stewarding right now and you're just expecting to receive gain from without any work or any trust or any faith or any consistency? So I think that is another big one is who do you have access to? What do you have access to? Are you utilizing the tools that are already in your toolbox? Or are you just acting like you need new, fresh tools that are shiny?
Those and are too great. I love those. Go ahead.
Thanks. And then number three with I don't know is stop saying it. Literally stop telling yourself that. And this goes along with what you hear Jessica say if you know, you follow along with her really consistently is the narrative. Like this narrative, I don't know how to start, is a real poopy narrative that ends with a period. Like at least give yourself a comma or a dash or a dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
You know,
but give it a but. I don't know where to start, but
Yeah. And so when you start to believe in that, but, or you believe in that I can, or I'm willing to, or I'm open-minded or whatever, like, again, you just, I don't know, the next page is going to look a lot different, and just be careful on what you're feeding your mind, because that's definitely going to work its way into your heart. Mm-hmm. And if you're telling yourself constantly, I don't know how to start, you will never start. Yeah. You will always feel stuck. And I would hate that for you, since you were called into this, for you to feel stuck. So yes, the prayer is so worth it, and keep praying your little heart out for sure. But at the same time, like, really be careful what you tell yourself, because the Bible talks about thinking about things that are noble and thinking about things that are good and holy. And so yeah. I don't know if Jesus was walking around saying, I don't know where to start. I think he was seeking God, keeping his head up and his eyes open. If he had a cell phone, he probably wasn't on it all the time, and was really like walking in life with an open mind to what was next. What's the next step?
Yeah, no, those are really good. I love it. And I know people are probably thinking, some, you know, sometimes we just need to get back to the basics, because social media and every entrepreneur out there, you know, it's really easy to go, gosh, they're so far along. And I always tell like my team of coaches, I'm always like, go back to the basics. Like, you don't need all the shiny gadgets to be successful, quote unquote, you know, just to start. And so I like to end my podcast with this question. Tanner, tell us, what lie right now does the enemy keep throwing your way? It doesn't have to do with anything in this podcast episode. But okay. What lie does he try to keep sneaking in that you're sending on truth with?
That's such a good question. And I'm stumped. I've battled lies all day. I feel like that ninja game where you're like chopping all the fruit.
Yeah.
And I definitely miss some of those pieces. I don't have a high score a lot of days. I would say, I think the lie that I'm not stewarding my money well. I think, again, if I just keep telling myself that, kind of like I expressed, because here's the thing, I look back when I started my business, I legitimately did not know how to start.
Yeah.
But I did. And it led to the next step, and it's just kind of progressed, and everything I've entered into my business, I don't know how to do it, but you just figure it out.
Yeah.
And I think the lie that I'm like hearing a lot recently that kind of like can actually get me emotional and make me, I don't know, just worry and make me think that, oh gosh, like God's not happy with me or whatever, is that I'm not stewarding my finances well. And I don't know if it comes out of like lack of organization or lack of conversations that I'm hesitant to have or whatever, but I do know that resting in that lie will keep me unorganized, will keep me not having those conversations. And so I think just believing in the truth that I can do better, maybe. Like, the lie isn't I'm not doing well. I am doing well, but I still can do better would be a better thought for me than this lie that like I've already failed God or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's good. I appreciate that. And I think even with business owners, we constantly have to evaluate our resources of where they go, because we don't have like a paycheck that comes in that already deducts everything for us. And this is what we get. We have to be very conscious of, oh, I need to buy this for my business and hire this person. Yes. And, oh, I'm just going to spend all my money on this, you know? And I think a lot of people could probably relate to that too, of just not that feeling of not feeling good enough in that area, the stewardship. So thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that and the truth that you're using to kind of combat that. Mm-hmm. Now, you referenced your podcast, Chasing Freedom, and I will have all the links for people to reach you and connect with you. So please, for sure, go find her podcast, Chasing Freedom. And I will link that episode below so that you have it in the show notes and the links to find Tanner, because seriously, you won't regret following her on Instagram. She's such a gem. She's so like sweet and cute and beautiful. Love it. And so again, thank you so much, Tanner, for just your time and your wisdom in this area.
You bet. I enjoyed this conversation so much. Thanks for being you, Jessica.
P.S. One more thing. If you've ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough, then my best-selling book, Know Your Worth is for you. If you knew what you were worth, would you settle for anything less? It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, your body, relationships, or your finances. You will discover gems to apply in your own life as I take you through my own journey of how I was able to overcome the unthinkable by realizing my worth wasn't tied in the things or people, but to God. In this book, I really walk you through the how-to of stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain. Find the tools you need to be successful in life. Realize you are beautiful just the way you are. Refuse to settle for anything less than what's God's best for your life. And recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future.